This afternoon, I am interviewing Dr. Clarence Glassrud, Professor Emeritus of Morehead State University in Morehead, Minnesota. This interview this afternoon with Dr. Glassrud concerns chiefly his association with the Morehead Rotary as a service organization. This interview is held in the recording studios of the Audiovisual Center of Morehead State University, and I am Robert J. Loeffler, the interviewer for the Heritage Education Commission. Well, to start off, Dr. Glassrud, would you tell us something about the origin and history of Rotary, when it was founded, and by whom, and is it a local or national organization?
Rotary was founded in 1905 in Chicago by a gentleman named Paul Harris, who thought there ought to be an association of businessmen from various businesses who could get together for social purposes. And it grew rather slowly at first, but about 1915 or thereabouts, I suppose it must have had 20 or 30 or something like that clubs, and had grown up this area. Interestingly enough, it became international when the Duluth Club brought in the Winnipeg Club in this area. There have been other organizations like it since that time. The one closest to it is the Kiwanis Club, which I suppose we Rotarians consider an imitation. It's the same kind of a club. There are others, and somewhat different, like the Lions, but the Kiwanis is very much like Rotary. Rotary came to this area came to Morehead in 1921. Now, I don't know the exact year that it came to Fargo. It was certainly a few years before, but not very much. Sometime, I would guess, between 1950 and 1921. Now, there was a member of Fargo Rotary at that time, Norman Black, the publisher of the Fargo Forum, was very enthusiastic and believed very strongly in the importance of Rotary and the value of Rotary, and he was instrumental in organizing a number of Rotary clubs in this area. I know, for instance, in Detroit Lakes, he was the organizer, and that happened in the very early 20s. In Morehead, it was 1921. I think Detroit Lakes either 1921 or 1922.
Fine. All right, membership. Who belongs, Dr. Glassrud, and how many? And what are membership requirements, and what is the status of women?
The handbook says, for active membership, each member shall be an adult male person of good character and good business or professional reputation. Now, I don't know. I've never faced up to the business of women members. I don't know the present status and whether there's any activity in that direction. We do have women guests and women speakers sometimes, but women members are not so far. But to go on about who should be an active member, the requirements say that each of these adult males shall be engaged as proprietor, partner, corporate officer or manager of any worthy and recognized business or profession. He should be a person holding an important position in an executive capacity with discretionary authority in any worthy and recognized business or profession. He should be, or he can be the active, acting or local agent or branch representative of a business or profession. And he must be personally and actively engaged within the territorial limits of the business. Mm-hmm. Now, you asked about the extent of it. I don't know the figures. I would guess that the international membership of Rotary would run into possibly millions by this time. There are, I think, 1,600 Rotary clubs around the world. That's the last figure I remember. And it's gone around the world except behind the Iron Curtain. Of course, there are none in Russia. But there are in India, for instance. I made up in Japan when I was over there about 2 months ago, and I could have in Rotary in India. There was a meeting in the hotel we stayed at in New Delhi, and I was tempted to go, but we were leaving the next day, so I didn't attend.
Oh, wonderful.
I have noticed one important difference between the Rotary clubs in foreign places and in the United States. I made up in Rome one time, and practically all the membership were very old. They take very seriously that that qualification, that it should be the Rotarian should be the proprietor or partner or corporate officer or a manager. It seemed to me that you had to be about 84 years old before you'd qualify for Rotary over there.
Quite a difference.
In this country, we take that with a grain of salt. And as a matter of fact, the Moorhead Rotary at the present time is taking in a great many very young people, and I think it's been very good for the club. But they certainly are not the heads of their businesses.
Fine.
There is one other thing that differentiates Rotary from Kiwanis or any other group, and that is its classification system, which says each active member of this club shall be classified in accordance with his business or profession. The classification of each active member shall be that which covers the principal and recognized activity of the firm, company, or institution which he's connected with. Or, if he be independently engaged in a business profession, his classification shall be that which covers his principal and recognized business. Now, that meant that you couldn't have more than one jeweler, for instance, or more than one lawyer, or more than one person involved in the cleaning business. That, too, has been liberalized to some extent. And it wasn't one of the original requirements of Rotary, but I was told many years ago, maybe about 30 years ago when I first became Rotarian, that Rochester, Minnesota was a horrible example that brought this into being, because it turned out to be nothing more than an association of doctors of the Mayo Clinic. Mm-hmm. They were practically all MDs, and that destroyed the club, and they started all over again with this classification system. Mm-hmm. Now, since then, we have perhaps, and the Moorhead Rotary must have 6 or 8 or 10 college people in the club. The superintendent of schools are there, but there are 2 or 3 or 4 members in Concordia, and I think several more than that from Moorhead State. But you can break down the classification. They say one is a college professor English, another one college professor science, or something of that sort. So by that means, by subdivisions, you can break it down. One other thing, when I first became a Rotarian, the Kiefers, for instance, held the car dealership, and so that was passed on from Jake. He could take in another person in the club, and he took in his eldest son, Jake Jr., Jake the Third, rather. Mm-hmm. But it did exclude any other car dealer. That, too, has been liberalized, and now that doesn't hold anymore. I don't know if there's any change in the international regulations or if the change has come about just because of the behavior of the feeling of the people themselves. Mm-hmm. But I have noticed that that has broken down. They do take in their competitors now. Originally, they did not.
I see.
They could pass on. But once they had a classification, they hung on to it, and they jealously guarded it. Hmm.
Well, Kiwanis has something similar, too, now, and it's made up of younger members, too, they're trying to get. All right, now something about purposes in the program, and I'll take these, I think, one by one, Sock. What are the goals and purposes of Rotary?
Well, one important one is to inculcate better international understanding. And they are very much concerned about that. They have a number of programs which encourage exchange from between countries. There are, I think, there are 6 people from this area being sent over. I'm trying to think where. They're not Rotarians, but they're young people, fairly young people, that is, sent over to another country where they're taken in charge by Rotarians over there. Mm-hmm. And there are Rotary Foundation fellowships, which are very desirable and very lucrative. So there's a great deal of competition for those.
Sounds good.
They pay very well. Mm-hmm. There is a Rotary Foundation which supports that kind of thing. There are, some years ago, the exchange between the Rotary Club of Moorhead and a Rotary Club in the north of England, I think around Durham and Newcastle, our Rotarians went over there, and their Rotarians came over here, quite a large number of them. Mm. They'd be put up in the houses of the members and entertained quite lavishly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good deal of that kind of thing. There are more programs, but they've become very extensive. One thing that made my visit to the Rotary Club of Nara in Japan more interesting was that I was placed at a table with three young people. One was a boy from Brazil, I think of Oriental parentage, Japanese parentage, or grandparents anyway, mm-hmm. and a girl from in Canada. Trying to think, somewhere's up in Ontario, one of the smaller towns up near Ottawa, and a very charming girl from Australia,
and
Queensland, Northern Australia,
mm-hmm.
and I enjoyed very much talking to her.
All right, thank you. What services do you provide?
I think the Rotary.
I'm not sure whether that's you.
Well, Rotary does not. Like some service clubs go out of its way to sponsor a local thing. It does have some things like, for instance, Rotary Cur Day, which it takes very seriously. It seems to me it's about now. It used to be mm-hmm. held in November, and it was for many, many years. That's been going on for about 20 or 30 years. But each Rotarian is responsible for one of these classifications.
I see.
Not by classification, I mean one could deal, say, with a newspaper work, another one with a secretarial work, another one with college teaching, another one with automobile mechanics or the military and so on. And the Rotarian has to find someone in that profession who's qualified to speak about it. Mm-hmm. And talk to the youngsters.
I see.
And that's taken very seriously. I think about 30 years ago, a decision was made in the Moorhead Rotary, at least, that they would not go out and sell brooms or light bulbs mm-hmm. or candy or anything of that sort, that the members of Rotary would be too busy with that sort of thing. That they would offer leadership in the community in all kinds of, they were encouraged to participate in United Fund drives very actively. Mm-hmm. But as far as the club carrying on that kind of activity, no. Moorhead Rotary Club does give scholarships to students of Concordia, Moorhead State, students who want to enter Moorhead mm-hmm. and Concordia, and I think the tech school also. The money for that, it comes from some of the horseplay of the club.
Oh, yes.
They have a pig which is passed, and you can be fined for almost anything, for not wearing a tie or for wearing a tie or for wearing the wrong kind of shirt or anything. Or if you get your name in the paper, then you're heavily fined, that sort of thing.
Similar to Gowanus, okay. Have the service goals changed over the years, and if so, in what way?
I suppose they have, but I'm not aware of any abrupt change. I'm sure they change with the times, but there hasn't been any rapid shift that I can see. It's been surprisingly consistent in the things that it stands for.
Okay.
And occasionally in recent years, I know some Rotarians feel that we should offer more service to the community, and so they have enlisted the help of the Rotary Anns, the wives of Rotarians, to mm-hmm. And put on rummage sales and that sort of thing in order to raise more money. And the Rotary will give a large sum of money, that is some of the thousands of dollars, to if they have that much money on hand to various good causes. I can remember when I first joined the Moorhead Rotary Club, St. Ansgar's Hospital was just being built. There was an old St. Ansgar's, that old brick building, which was built mm-hmm. in 1907 by the Swedish a group that founded it, and we very badly needed a new hospital, and the leadership of the drive for the Rotary, for the building of St. Ansgar's was Nance Rotarians.
I see.
And I remember that we had some money saved up, and that was all donated to the cause to get it off to a good start.
You don't know how much money?
No, I don't. Oh. It won't seem quite as much in today's
no.
sense, but it seemed quite a lot
yes,
then.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
A few thousand dollars.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Now let's see, finances. I guess maybe you have answered this partly. How have you funded your products? And can you tell something about any of these fundraising efforts?
Well, there, as I say, Moorhead Rotary has not done very much fundraising, only periodically. For the scholarship, local scholarships are done by fines, which are tied up with a horseplay in the club. There is a thing called Rotary Foundation, and Rotarians are encouraged to pay an extra beyond what their dues are. Now, a part of the dues for Rotary membership goes to the Rotary International and goes to the Rotary Foundation. But beyond that, Rotarians who can afford it are urged to become members of the Rotary Foundation and put in extra money. And that goes to those large sums. But local projects, as I say, some members of Moorhead Rotary have criticized the club. They don't do more of that sort of thing. But I think some of the others feel that probably the members are too busy to give very much their time to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've always felt that one of the most valuable things that I've gotten out of Rotary, and I've been in about 30 years, maybe a little more, is that I've come to know the leaders and the professional and business leaders in the community, which I probably would not know any other way.
Right.
I would know the, mm-hmm. the members of my own profession, certainly my own college, and to some extent Concordia and NDSU, but I would not know the business people except that I go into their stores, or an MD if I go into his office. In Rotary, you rub shoulders with a great many people in the community whom you would not have any contact with
That's
otherwise,
right. mm-hmm.
and you establish relationships that you could not establish any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we meet every week, as I think
right.
mm-hmm. most clubs of this sort do. Attendance is required. You know, if you do not attend, if you miss too many meetings, you can be eliminated from the club, and people are removed.
They are actually eliminated then.
Oh, they can be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if they do not, if they miss too many meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I have known some rather preposterous examples of people who have made up. Now you can make up by attending some other club. That is, if you have a something that interferes with your meeting on, which is Tuesday noon for Moorhead Rotary, you just can't make it. You can go to Fargo, which meets at Wednesday noon, or West Fargo, which means it meets Thursday or Friday noon. So now mm-hmm. there's a new Rotary Club and founded out of West Acres.
Oh, yes.
But I have known, I think it was Walter Grantham who did. He drove down Detroit Lakes in a blizzard in order to make up a Rotary. So he wouldn't. You see, he had perfect attendance for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
There are some
That's
fantastic
wonderful.
Records. I don't want to break that.
That's right. Well, thank you. Do you have dues, and do you seek or receive grants from any other agency?
I don't know of any. Seeking a grant, I'm not aware of. It could be Rotary International does, but we don't in Moorhead Rotary. Yes, the dues cover both the luncheons and then a little beyond that. There are dues that go. There is a Rotary magazine, or a good magazine, a monthly, and part of it goes for that. Yes, the dues, the largest part of the dues go to paying for your meals.
Oh, yes.
And beyond that, there is a certain portion of them that go quarterly to the to Rotary International to support their activities. One interesting thing is that the Rotary Handbook says that the club will meet at the best hotel in the city. Now, in Moorhead Rotary, that's not been true. Many years ago, they used to meet at the Comstock Hotel, which was no great shakes at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, when the FM Hotel was built just after World War II, finished about 40 years ago, there was a strong move to go to meet there. But the Rotary Club had gotten in the habit of meeting at the Moorhead Country Club, and they liked it. There was a sort of a split in the club for a while because some of the business people thought it'd be very nice just to walk across the street to the FM hotel to a meeting, but the rest of us who had to drive anyway, there isn't insufficient parking down there, and as long as we had to drive anyway, we'd much rather drive at the country club. We were so devoted to the country club that we beat down any attempt, so we were transgressing that requirement or that admonition of Rotary Handbook, which said you'll meet at the best hotel.
As you talk, all I can think about is Kiwanis and really how similar they are today.
Well, they're both very conscious of their status, of course.
Did you say what the yearly dues?
Yearly? That depends on how much they're paying for their meals, and I can't tell you what it is now. I've been a senior active member for quite a long time, because when you have been a member for something like 15 years, I forget what the exact time is. Any active member of the club who now has been active member of this or other clubs for a total of 15 years or more, who is of the age of 65 or more, after having been an active member of one or more clubs, so on, then you have a great many rights that you don't have to. There are many things you don't have to live up to any longer. And Moorhead Rotary takes that thing very. Interprets it very broadly. So I attend when I wish, and I pay for my meals as I go, and I don't pay attention to attendance. I want to attend and I want to make up. Now, technically, I think that shouldn't be. If I'm going to be a regular member, I should be required to attend regularly, but the interpretation here is, since a senior active, I can make my own rules about and attend or not attend as I wish. And now, again, we do, this is not compulsory, but of our own free will, we do send in addition to paying our for our meals, we do send a certain amount of money to Rotary International, $50 or $100 a year. And I suspect that's about what active members pay. I can't tell you. That changes, of course, and has fluctuated. And just what it is now, I can't say.
Okay. Now, you meet weekly.
Yes.
And food is a part of your meetings. And programs are also a part of your meeting. And what type of programs?
Well, programs, I think, to most Rotarians are the essential part of it. There is also a certain amount of horseplay, not very much, but a little bit. The passing of the pig, for instance, and fines for various things, and kidding each other. And they sing songs. I should have mentioned that. Any service club sing songs. They have their own songbooks, and some of the songs seem, to an outsider, I think, extraordinarily silly. Rotary, that's spelled Rotary, and so on. But they also sing usual popular songs, and if the song leader is active, that can be very good. Some Rotary clubs are very good, some are not. You were talking about the size of the club so a while back. Mm-hmm. That can vary a good deal, from about 20 people. If you have fewer than 20, I don't think you could organize a Rotary club with fewer. but it may run up to something like 500 now. Yeah. Clubs like that are way too big. Mm-hmm. Big cities, however, usually have a number of clubs. Even I don't know how many there are in Minneapolis or St. Paul. I mean, I'm sure there must be a dozen in the two cities. But I've noticed in Paris or London, for instance, there'd be four or five clubs in each city. To me, the ideal club would be about between 50 and 100. Morehead Rotary now is quite big, probably just over 100. But I've known it to be much closer to 50. Mm-hmm. I have made up at various small clubs, and I've found clubs that are too small. Seems to me they just are a kind of ragged edge, and they don't really work. There's too few people in the town.
What kind of programs then and speakers all the
programs.
Do you have?
Mm-hmm. Well, all the programs can vary a good deal, but nearly always it's a speaker, and the speaker can be just entertainment, but nearly always it's kind of semi-educational. They may have some state official or some local official or a doctor. Thinking about recent Rotary meetings, there was an eye specialist talking about new developments in eye surgery and so on, mm-hmm. or some military person might come in, or someone telling about his travels. It can be almost anything, something that has a general interest politically, culturally, or a broad general interest. I have discovered that there's a fairly high degree of political interest. Well, if it gets too intricate and too specialized, too partisan, I think there's some objection. I have discovered there's a pretty fair tolerance of cultural programs, unless they get too cultural, mm-hmm. and if they get too esoteric, then there is a general objection to that.
Do you ever go out for a meeting, say, to Oak Grove?
Yes.
And the choir sings?
Yes. Yes, that will happen. We have had meetings away from our regular meeting place. That may be connected with something else. For instance, if there are some renovations at our usual meeting place, as there were this spring. We met at Concordia one time, Morehead State one time, the Votech School another time.
I see.
But if they, for instance, I can remember one time, the telephone office in Fargo underwent some massive rebuilding, and we had our meeting over there. Mm-hmm. And that's, or we might meet out the National Guard, show us around out Hector Airport. I can remember meeting that sort. Mm-hmm. And very, very occasionally there'd be joint meetings with them in the club, like Fargo and Morehead.
Oh, yes.
That's more apt to happen with social evenings, because there are about three or four or five parties here. There's a Valentine party about now. I forget what the date is. I'm not mm-hmm. signed up for it. But there's a pre-Christmas party, there's a Valentine party, and there's a fall party, and there's generally a golf party sometime in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Now, leadership. Can you identify people who have played key roles in the program of your organization?
Well, there are certain individuals who make better Rotarians than others, I suppose. Looking at Morehead Rotary from its inception, it was organized by Fargo Rotary in 1921, as I mentioned, when a couple of Fargoans who discovered that there were 21 men in Morehead who would be interested in organizing a club. One of them is still living and still is a member of the club, though he's out in California right now, and that's Jake Kiefer. Jake is getting close to 90 years old, but when he comes back, he'll be attending some meetings of the club. And he's talked to us about the early days of Morehead Rotary. The first president of the Morehead Rotary Club was a lawyer named Garfield Rusted, who was a rather flamboyant trial lawyer, rather well-known, almost notorious, perhaps. Interestingly enough, Oscar Martinson, who had a jewelry store in Morehead, was the song leader for oh, at least 20 years, the only song leader they ever had for about 20 or 30 years. And rather curiously, Morehead Rotary had a woman, Mrs. Stan Cowan, who came in to play the piano. There wasn't any Morehead Rotarian who was a pianist. Now, in the last 20 years, Wendell Buckley of the Concordia faculty has been a Rotarian, has played the piano for us. But for the first 30 years, Mrs. Stan Cowan came in to play the piano. There wasn't any Morehead Rotarian who was a pianist. Now, in the last 20 years, Wendell Buckley of the Concordia faculty has been a Rotarian, has played the piano for us. But for the first 30 years, Mrs. Stan Cowan came in. Now, the Morehead Rotary celebrated its 50th anniversary back in 1971 with a pretty good party at the country club. Like Kiwanis too, there is an organization. It seems to me there are between 40 and 50 clubs that are grouped together into our Rotary District. It goes as far as Duluth, takes in a couple of Winnipeg clubs. Canadian club. Doesn't take in Winnipeg, which is a different district, but it does take in Thunder Bay and a couple other clubs like that. And it takes in all of North Dakota and northern Minnesota.
Oh, yes.
The present, we've had two district governors from the Morehead Club. Jim Deems, who came to Morehead in 1923 or 1924 as a manager of the new Fairmont Creamery that came into the community at that time and had a very considerable impact in the community, was the district governor of our Rotary District back in 1954. And at the present time, a Concordia professor named Dr. David Green, Professor French, is our district governor. The district governor has to go around and visit every club in his district and speaks to them and checks up on them, and supposedly. These are the only two men who have ever been district governors from our club. The kind of leadership, well, looking over that that list of the original 21 people, I don't see anyone. There isn't any, hardly any sign of present-day businesses or professions in that list, except for Jay Kiefer. Martinson Jewelry closed in connection with Urban Renewal, though it did. Martins himself was dead, but the firm went on until about 10, 15 years ago. W.W. Walwork was one of the original. Now, his son, Bill Walwork, still runs the firm, but had moved over to Fargo about 20-some years ago. Hal Harris, I noticed, was Harris had an implement and car business, automobile agency. Jack Lamb was one of the Lamb family. They were farmers. Democrats and Roman Catholics, and he was a bank president. The Lamb family, as far as I know, died out in Morehead, though they played a very important role in Morehead history for nearly 100 years. The other names, there's the Thornby and a Rustness, a Wheeler, who was a land dealer, and Leo Kosick, who had a, what we used to call, later on it was a bar, but it was a pool hall. Earlier. Now, Sam Field was, I think, the founder of the Palace Clothing Company. I don't see any others that are names. If you know Morehead history, will mean something, but otherwise, one other, George Walker, because I think George Walker is Bob Walker, George Walker's grandson, I think, is Rotary in the present time. There were real estate dealers and engineer, architect.
There haven't been any mayors that have come out of Rotary.
Mayors? Or? Oh, yeah.
All right, let's
hear about they have been a fair number of Morehead mayors. I can't just offhand tell which ones were, but no. Sliv Nemzik was a very prominent Rotarian, and he was mayor about 1948. Looking down the list, I'm trying to think which other ones were. We've had a few individuals who stayed on as mayors in Moorhead for a long, long time. There was one other, Frank Hollins, was also mayor of Moorhead, and he was a president of Rotary. Judge Byron Wilson was a Rotarian for a long time. Manny Margette was one of the most prominent of, of Moorhead Rotarians for many, many years. He was very, very much devoted to Rotary. Martin Johnson, who was responsible for the FM Hotel, and I named it after his son. I'm trying to think if there are any other Rotarians who have been mayors since then. Ah, yes, Thornley Wells. He was a
Rotarian. And he was involved with Clay County affairs, too.
Yeah, yes, he was in the county, but he was mayor of Moorhead for a number of years. I think there were some others, but I can't, I just can't remember offhand just who are. They're reasonably involved in politics, but offhand I don't remember any other mayors. Looking at the list of people, there have been members of the legislature like Neil Woolwind and... who was the other one I just saw? Another one a little while ago. Evenson, Clarence Evenson. He may have been mayor of Moorhead, too. It seems strange.
I wonder if he wasn't.
Seems strange if he wasn't, because...
he ran a grocery store, didn't
he? Yes, for a great many years. It was a fixture of the town.
Well, Manny Margette must have... really livened up your
meetings. Oh yeah, he was a very important member of Rotary. Wayne Peterson, who was the owner of the Moorhead Daily News, the publisher of the Moorhead Daily News for many, many, many years, was a Rotarian. Sliv Nemzik, as I mentioned, was a very prominent. One other curiosity: we have one honorary Rotarian, and I don't believe there's any provision in Rotary bylaws for that, because I've never examined them to be sure. But anyway, Dr. Joseph Knutson was president of Concordia for a quarter of a century, is a, was made honorary, an honorary Rotarian about, oh, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago, a long time ago. Each club is apt to come up with its own traditions, and one of the traditions of the Moorhead Rotary is that the meeting before Christmas, you have Dr. Knutson come out to preach the Christmas sermon.
Oh, yes.
He's been doing that for a long, long time, and probably it's not because of that they made him an honorary Rotarian. Now, in those, when he was president of Concordia, he never attended except for that meeting, but now... he does attend often, and he enjoys Moorhead Rotary very often. He lives near me, and we often go out together, so I'm very conscious of that. And the present president of Concordia, Paul Dovery, is also a member of Rotary. But Joe Knutson, since his retirement, has found Rotary a very valuable contact.
Well, Sock, I called to mind here. When you were here at the university, how many Moorhead State staff were...
faculty?
Were members of Rotary?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I see Samuel Bridges, who we have a building named after him. He came to Moorhead in 1920 and was a professor of history, was president of the Moorhead Rotary about 1928. Dr. Joseph Kesey, also the building named after him, was a Moorhead Rotarian.
What about Dr. Ballard?
Ballard was not a Rotarian as far as he may have been a Kiwanian. I know the presidents of Moorhead State tended to be Kiwanians back at that time. I know that Snar was, and before him I think McLean was. But after that, John Neumeyer was a Rotarian. He had been president of Moorhead, of the Hibbing Rotary Club. when he was elected president of Morehead State. And he was a rather stormy member of the Rotary Club. Obviously, he's much more liberal than most of our members, so he would often tangle with other members. But, of course, during the liberal era, there were some things of that sort. Roland Dill has never been a member of either Rotary or Kiwanis. He said he had a temptation to become Kiwanian because his father-in-law, Huffman, was a Kiwanian.
Oh, yes.
But he's never been a member of a service club, because probably because he's gone so much. He is out of town so much. But at one time, we had about a half dozen members. Joe Kesey, as I said, was a very active Rotarian for many years. And Sliv Nemczyk, of course, who was on AMS faculty for about, and a very important one for about, 20-some years, from about the 1920s until he went in the Army in World War II. And after the Army, he was very active in the club until his death. Roger Hamilton of the Mass Communication Department was chairman of it when it was founded, and was for many years. Was Rotarian. Jim Condell was a Rotarian of the psychology department, and a number of others. Now, the vice president for academic affairs, Bill Jones, is a Rotarian, and Jerry Huckabee, who is involved in public relations, is also the president of the club. One time, there were no members of the faculty except myself, and I had retired. I went up to the college and told them this wouldn't do, that they could not.
They had to have somebody.
They had dropped out completely. There wasn't a single member of the MIMAS faculty, and I thought that was very, very wrong. And they have changed their ways since then. Mm-hmm. So now there are, I suppose, 3, 4, 5, 6 again. And I know there are Concordians in both clubs.
Yes. How does the community see the Rotary?
Well, I think they have a high respect for both Rotary and Kiwanis, and I think it's regarded as an important sounding board for speakers, for instance, and I think they value Rotary and Kiwanis. They're aware of the fact that most of the leadership in the community and have members in those two clubs, and I think to a lesser extent in the Lions. Lions is a slightly different kind of club. Lions will get into many smaller towns and are a little different type.
All right. Has the organization changed as the community has changed and grown?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When they began, they wore blazers, a kind of a uniform in the Morehead Rotary. And they wore overseas caps with a Rotary emblem on it. There's a picture down at the Clay County Historical Society taken of Morehead Rotary in the very early years, and there they are with these rather ill-fitting jackets and these overseas caps. Jay Kiefer tells me, too, that there's a good deal of horseplay. They play practical jokes on each other. To a great extent, and the competition or the interplay between the Fargo and Morehead clubs was quite considerable, and that would lead to horseplay. He told one time about a tug of war across the Red River and trying to pull each other into the river, and that kind of thing. When in the 50th anniversary, they had this little note, on the night of the charter presentation of the Morehead Rotary Club, the Fargo Club, almost 100% strong, marched across the bridge over the Red River, carrying torches, and proceeded to the Comstock Hotel, where the program took place. Norman B. Black, I mentioned, was the organ, sang the Bells of St. Mary's. And the tables are arranged as a wheel with a flowing fountain in the center. And Roy Baker of the Fargo Club presented a charter number 970, dated May 1st, 1921. Now, that'll give you some idea of
That's the kind of thing
it was in the early days.
Thank you. Well, I think you have covered many of these questions already, Doc, but I'll read them through. When did you join? And I'm sure you've said that. Why did you join? I don't know if
I was told by one of my friends that it would not do for me just to bottle myself up at the college. I had to be involved in the community. I had to know the community people, because one of the troubles with college faculty members is they just sort of talk to each other.
Right.
And they don't interplay with the community, and if they don't interplay the community, they don't have much impact in the community, and the community doesn't have impact on them. Now, I know faculty members think that's all to the good. You know, they think a college should be as much like a monastery as possible,
yes.
And you shouldn't have that kind of thing. I don't agree with them. And At first, I was horrified by the silly songs we sang and the backslapping and name-calling. One thing, for instance, this is true of Kiwanis, I know.
Yes.
You cannot, if you call a fellow Kiwanian or Rotarian by Mr. Leffler, for instance, instead of Bob, you get fined.
Mm-hmm.
That's an that's the same sort of thing. You've got to be on first name or ideally nickname basis.
Mm-hmm. Good, thank you. Have you held office?
Yeah, I've held all of them. I've been secretary and treasurer and vice president and president.
When were you president?
I think about 1968. I was supposed to be president in 1964 because I had been groomed. You know, I had been brought up through the ranks and been vice president. But I got a sabbatical and went to Europe the next year, so I escaped and got out of the progression. And so they had to start over again.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 67, 68, and I was president of Morehead Rotary. I also edited the bulletin, the weekly bulletin. I'm sure Kiwanis has one too, and that's an important aspect of Rotary. Yeah. I edited that for about at least 10 years.
Very good. What aspect of the program has been most important to you?
To me, quite frankly, it's the fellowship. I mean, the fact that I've gotten to know people in the community that I would only have known across the counter. Or in the doctor's or the dentist's office. I value that very, very much. I discovered, for instance, from the outside that some of these men have very good brains. And an academic person is apt to think that a business person is not very smart because he doesn't have the same kind of know-how that he has. But I've discovered that that they're from the outside, you know, they look and sound alike. When you get to know them in Rotary, there's a great deal of difference. I know that, for instance, the Paul Cook, who was the city clerk in Morehead, there were only three city clerks in Morehead. I guess there are three up to the present time. There was Grant Price was Morehead city clerk from 1907 to about 1936, and I think that's when Paul Cook came in, and then for about 30 years, and now Ed Lacey since then. I think they're the only three we ever had in nearly 100 years. Well, not quite that long, since 1907. But Paul Cook, I discovered, was a Civil War buff. And he knew more Civil War history than any historian I've ever encountered.
Is he still living?
No. He had a son who was a member of Morehead Rotary, but he moved out of town. He was associated with some, representing some large firm, NSP or Bell Telephone or something, and he was moved out of town. But Paul Cook came to Morehead from Bismarck, North Dakota, and he died about, must have been about 10, 12 years ago.
I see.
A very fine man. I valued
his association with him. Mm-hmm. We talked Civil War history.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what event do you remember as being the most interesting?
Well, some of the parties were really tremendous. They're really great parties. They don't mean as much to me anymore, but it may be that just my wife and I were new in Moorhead and then getting acquainted with these people. Mm-hmm. I remember one Thanksgiving party, we won a 26-pound turkey. We split it, invited all our friends in, but uh-huh. It seems to me it took us all winter. It was a raffle.
Wonderful.
And I also remember that party when the English Rotarians, quite a lot of them, came over here and we entertained them. We mm-hmm. had to offer a toast to the Queen first. Yeah, you had to offer a toast to the Queen before anybody lit a cigarette or drank coffee or whatever, something like that. I can't remember. It was a regular, before anyone sat down. There was some kind of protocol involved. Oh, yes. I was involved a little bit in it.
What was the most humorous event?
Humorous? Mm-hmm. That I can't think of. There are many, many humorous events, but one particular humorous event, I don't know that I can single any one out. There really wasn't much horseplay anymore of the old type, not the practical jokes that I'd mm-hmm. heard about, but there were some baiting going on, and it was always difficult to tell to how serious they were. For instance, Joe Young, who was in charge of the Public Service Department, was constantly being baited by Manny Margette. And I don't know really if there was bad blood between them or it was just kind of humorous.
Uh-huh.
And I think between Sliv Nemzik and Joe Young, because Joe Young was a very thorny individual. And,
mm-hmm.
and one of the humorous things I remember, they used to have him sing Little Eyes of Jane, or at least, yeah. And he had no voice at all, the voice of a bullfrog, you know. But they
<Like mine.
laughs> that was a tradition. Every now and then he'd sing Little Eyes of Jane, and Joe Young would sing a solo.
Best illustration of the service you provide?
Service of Rotary
provides?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think the sort of thing, the leadership in that St. Ansgar Drive, that's the first of the big public mm-hmm. drives in Moorhead that I was involved in, and I think the weight of the Moorhead Rotary Club behind that was very important. Since then, I can't think of any one particular drive that has been a standout. They have gotten behind what's that outfit in that builds school buildings in Africa? Operation Bootstrap.
Yes.
We were much involved in that for a while and contributed pretty generously.
Mm-hmm.
That one I remember. There must be some others, but they just sort of slipped my mind.
Well, it's hard to remember everything. What the most serious obstacle you have encountered as a group?
I don't know.
Probably weren't any.
The business of regular attendance, which if it is interpreted very strictly or held to that, sometimes I found it rather onerous to be required to attend every mm-hmm. Tuesday when I was very, very busy.
Other things,
and clubs have their ups and downs, and at present time, the Moorhead Rotary Club, I think, has an up. It is a good, very good group. They've mm-hmm. brought in a lot of new members. A great deal of turnover since I was an active member, and it is it's a very, but it can slide down and it can get in the doldrums.
Yes. Well, the last question then, given you the most personal satisfaction.
Well, no question there is learning to know a great many men in the community that I had in no way that I would have gotten acquainted with at all in that way. And that's professional and business people. Like I illustrate the case of Paul Cook. I valued his friendship very much, and I would never have met him. Or Ing Steenerson, the head of the Steenerson Lumber. Talk about mayors, that's another one. Ing Steenerson was a Rotarian, and he was mayor of Moorhead. In mm-hmm. fact, he could have been mayor of Moorhead forever if he wanted to. It took him a long time to be able to persuade him to become mayor, and he didn't want to. And he was enormously popular. He had to be drafted.
Good one.
But he was, I valued his getting to know him very much.
Thank you, Sark. Well, I guess this concludes the interview. Is there anything else that you would like to tell the people in the future about Rotary?
Well, to someone from the outside, I suppose, a club like that, you know, it's a sort of a figure. You talk about a Rotarian being kind of a stuffed shirt, a solid citizen sort of thing. And there's something about that, taking yourself too seriously and singing those songs. But the Rotarian spirit, sort of the rah-rah-rah spirit, you can poo-poo that, but it has it's contributed a good deal to this country, and it I think the only way to see it in a different light is to become a member of such a club yourself, and then you will see it. And I've former students of mine who were pretty insurgent 20 years ago are now fairly prominent Morehead Rotarians.
Mm-hmm. I kind of noticed that with Kiwanis, too, that the students today, at least, that I've observed and when I taught, didn't think too much of these service organizations beneath them or something.
No, they're to be poo-pooed. They're absolutely the epitome of what they don't like about America.
Right.
But when they get a little older and settle down, have responsibilities and become important people in the and have family support, it looks very different.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Glassford. Bye.